Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome. Good to have you all with us. And we are going to switch gears here and talk about some things that have been in the news. We saw here locally in Baltimore where a police officer shot and killed a woman that turned out to be his girlfriend and then snatched his daughter and, or son and went into his house and blocked himself in. Of course, we saw what happened in Cleveland where these women had been held in bondage for over 10 years, for 10 years and less, and were rescued by this working-class man and the people in their neighborhood when they saw them trying to get out of the house. And I'll come back to that in a moment. And then we've seen this new reports, nothing new for the stuff we've been covering on the show, but of the tens of thousands of women in our armed services who have been sexually assaulted. And then the man who was the head of that unit for the Air Force was arrested for assaulting a woman in a parking lot, sexually assaulting a woman in a parking lot. You know, you look at these issues, and then we see the NRA convention, where one of the major features people seem to love there was this silhouette that you practice on, shooting target, that is a woman's silhouette, made into a zombie, but it was, you know, like your ex-girlfriend, whoever that is, it's a silhouette to shoot. So one of the things people talk about, all these issues and going on with this, one of the things we're not addressing is the question of men in our society and where they are, and the question of misogyny. It's huge. And one little piece I'll throw in here, if we have time to get to it, we'll do it today, if not tomorrow or the next day. But when I saw this man who rescued these women, a poor working class guy who said he couldn't sleep at night because he didn't make enough money and was always bothering him, when they offered him money for the rescue, saying if there's no reward, he said, no, the reward should go to the women who have been kidnapped because they need to be healed. So I'm just saying that to the power of poor working people in America is not just about them stealing the money and getting the money and taking the money. It's about caring for other human beings. That was a really important thing, I think, that came out of that for me. But going back to the original, we have with us here in the studio a old friend, Keith Snipes, actor, narrator, writer, social commentator, and activist in the studio. Andrea Platt, associate editor of Racial Issues. And Keith and Andrea, welcome. Good to have you back, both of you.
Good to be here, Mark.
Thank you.
Andrea, always good to have you on the show. Glad you could make it today. Let me start with you. I mean, in terms of what, especially at the beginning with this kind of connection to all these stories, to me, is this undertone of misogyny, which really grips the nation sometimes, and we don't see it until these kind of things happen. And then when these things happen, we still don't see it. Andrea?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I am sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I do apologize for that.
That's
well,
right.
I think the reality is that because misogyny is so normalized, it's made so normal in this society that we don't see it. And then we're shocked by when we see this displays of extreme forms of misogyny, such as what we saw in Cleveland. So, but it happens constantly. I remember there's a really great documentary called This Film Is Not Yet Rated. And director Kevin Smith basically said, the number one thing I would get rid of in films is not it's not the sex, it's the violence, especially the violence against women. He said there are things that would get a PG-13 that would skate, and it's horribly violent towards women, but yet we try to show sex in the society, and it gets R's and NC-17s. And he said there's something wrong. There's something very, very wrong with that. So saying all that to say, you know, and even when women try to say something, and a good example would be Zerlina Maxwell, who was on Fox News and said, no, you don't stop rape by telling women how not to get raped. You tell the rapist to not rape. And she received all kinds of death threats and racist remarks and things like that, which she simply stated, and very well stated, the obvious. But we don't want to hear that because our society is so entrenched in that idea that we can take violence out on the bodies of women.
I think, Mark, there's always been an element of misogyny in our precepts of masculinity in this country. But I think that part of the problem now is that men in this country because of the dramatic changes in the economy, the dramatic changes in family configurations and all kinds of other social dynamics. I think men are suffering from an identity crisis. And we have then, I think what has happened as a result of that is that that lowest common denominator that is part of our precepts of masculinity is starting to really, really surface, and that's violence. That's violence. I think...
If I may, I need to push back on that a little
sure.
bit, because violence against women has happened through various economic cycles, and it's happened in various parts of the world. So it's something a little bit deeper than just I totally understand what you're saying, and I get what you're saying, and I agree with it to some point. But I think that we need to look at, there's a deeper history and a deeper culture that spans from our literature to whatever latest permutation of media, that we still tell the stories that it's okay to be violent, to use violence against women's bodies to make them do what we want them to do.
And I don't think there's any daylight between the point you're making and the point that I'm attempting to make. Fact is that in this economy, there seems to be this kind of defeatist, zeitgeist where in many economic, in situations where we've suffered economic difficulties in the past, there were those who believed that we could come out of it. In this particular economic crisis, I think people feel a certain level of doom and gloom. The violence has always been there, and I think there's always been permission for that violence. But at this juncture, I think the violence is even more pronounced because the economic crisis associated with it, and certainly not just the economic crisis, but other social dynamics.
But I think what you're saying, Andrea, is despite even if we weren't in the economic crisis, the issue of misogyny would be deeply with us.
It's always been. It has been deeply with us.
Absolutely.
We can look at everything from stories in the Bible. We can look at stories from other cultures where women have been subject. Look at the story, for example, of Scheherazade. The king killed woman after woman after woman until Scheherazade figured out the way to keep herself alive was by telling stories. That's how we got the 1001 stories. But it was rooted in a very misogynist. It was rooted. The king was very misogynist. He just wanted. He killed women, woman after woman after woman. So again, it's not just. I understand what you're saying about economic crisis, and economic crisis do agitate misogyny in a way that maybe a quote unquote more peaceful time may not. But I don't want to say that therefore, you know, when it's peaceful, there's less misogyny, because there's not. It's always, it has been there. It has been there and has stayed there. And it is upon that that we have based a lot of even rules and laws and common laws in society that basically give permission to use violence against women.
And the
examples that we're looking at now are just the latest examples of that. They're the latest extreme examples of it.
I mean, no matter whether it's a police officer shooting his girlfriend down in the middle of the street, or the this NRA endorsed shooting target of a woman that actually bleeds when you shoot the target.
Right.
I mean, that to me was just blew me away when I saw that, and the kind of extreme example of what happened in Cleveland. And the sexual assault taking place in our military, and the fact that the person who mm-hmm. ran that for the Air Force was arrested for physically attacking mm-hmm. a woman in a parking lot.
And Mark, I think
these moments have to begin to say something to us about what we have to do. How do we address this in our children and changing where we are? Because I think we're at a pivotal moment of a kind of a sea change, and we have to grab hold of it. And make it happen.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make. I think we are at a moment of sea change where the politics that we hear all around us is misogynistic. Even to the point where there are women, primarily on the right, who are engaged enthusiastically in imparting this kind, that kind of misogynism. And until you said, you asked the question, how do we affect our young children with respect to this? I think we tell them the truth. And unfortunately, there are so many diversions that disallow the truth to come through, and then not a lot of folks talking to our young people about this. I think we are at a real defining moment in this country. And I think violence is just one of the indicators. But we're at a real defining moment.
Andrea?
I think that we need to start with the adults. Before we start, always, because I always feel like when we say, what about the kids? It's like, well, what about the adults? Mm-hmm. What are the behaviors that the adults are modeling for the children? When we are casually saying, when we are showing, when we have the NRA creating bleeding dolls to shoot at, what is that saying to a child? What is it saying to a child when they are looking at movies that are rated PG-13 and they are horribly violent? And they are, and basically they're allowed to sit there and watch this.
Right.
What are we saying when, and let's not act as if the kids do not pay, students, young people do not pay attention to what's going online, what's happening online, or even when they're watching someone like Zerlina, and I'm going to use her because I think she's a really great example of a positive person and trying to make a change in the conversation, and they see the, and they see the vitriol in which she is met. What are we saying? And this thing is with adult to adult. Not adult to child, adults acting this way towards each other. So we need to start with the adults, and we need to start with the children. It needs to be a simultaneous type of education and understanding and conversation.
We do, and I think that, and part of it, I think it's important for places like the federal government and the military to get involved in these conversations now. I mean, I read the article about the Air Force sergeant. Literally, I don't know if folks have not heard about it, but around after midnight, he was drunk. He walked into the parking lot, grabbed a woman's breasts and buttocks, forcing himself on her. She fought back. He did it again. She was able to dial 911, call the police, and he was arrested and found out who he was. Head of the unit that's supposed to invest, head of the Air Force Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office is his job in the United States Air Force.
I only think of Tailhook back in the 90s when that was a huge thing that blew up. This was back in the 90s. So we know that the military, when it blows up, has a history of violence towards women officers and women in the military. In fact, there's a documentary called The Invisible War where women have come forward and said, this has happened to me. I'm trying to protect the country. And no one's protecting me. And what happened with this young woman and this officer is another example of that. It's like, is the military going to take this seriously? Are you saying do you really want women in the military?
I think Ms. Platt, unless you had mentioned Tailhook, it probably has left our national imagination because we tend to forget those events. And we look at them as episodes, and then we forget about them. And I'm afraid that this 26,000, these 26,000 women who were, or 26,000, let me be clear, sexual assaults that are alleged to have taken place in 2012, they will be looked at more as a public relations issue as opposed to a moral outrage, and we will forget about it, and in the next 10 years someone will be on the radio reminding us that this happened.
Probably, but you know, this is the great thing about the internet, those stories can stick a little bit farther.
Right.
You keep those stories up and you keep that activism up when you have your feet in the street activism where you have people who get outraged and have signs and yelling and screaming saying stop doing this. Or when you have people like Hollaback, great organization, who has, you know, street activism. But at the same time, you have this website where people can go and say, this happened to me. So you need those in-between conversations as well as those big, loud demonstrations that says, we're not going to take this anymore. So it doesn't become incident, another isolated incident. And usually when you're talking about marginalized groups, I hate to generalize, but some people in marginalized groups have very long memories. It's like, no, I remember Tail Hook.
Right.
I remember this. Mm-hmm. I remember this. Mm-hmm. And as long as we keep that historical memory that says there is a history and a pattern of this that has gone on and we need to do something about it, that's another form of activism. You have to keep that memory of these incidents alive. And not only do you do that, you tie them together and say, all of these things are forms of misogyny. It's not this form of extremity is misogyny, and this is not. It's all of a piece. And that's what we need to keep hammering away, is that all of these things are a form. They're all of a piece. We're talking about misogyny and violence.
Let me open the phones here. So our listeners are thinking at 410-319-8888. You just heard Andrea Platt, associate editor at Racialicious. Keith Snipes, actor, narrator, writer, social commentator. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air. Hi, Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Steiner.
Welcome.
I'd like to ask Miss Angela a question, please. Miss Angela,
It's Andrea, not Angela.
Andrea. I'm sorry, Miss Andrea.
It's okay.
I'd like to know when I use the B word or the W word and make that applicable to you, isn't that my first initial assault against you, or at least open the pathway to a higher form of assault, like physical assault? To me, it's all one and the same. If I use that word and make it applicable to you, then I've assaulted you. And as far as the media is concerned, women should really get out there. When there's a film in the media, boycott the film. You know,
we are already out there. We are already out there. We've been out there. We've been writing the books. We've been out there demonstrating. We've been screaming and yelling since. We are out there. And now we're at a point where we are saying we need other people to be out there with us. We need the guys who want to say, hey, you know, I'm with you. Then you need to get out there and you need to step up front and say, no, for example, we're not going to tolerate what you are doing to Zerlina. And there have been several guys who have done that, who have gone online and said, we stand beside Zerlina. We stand with Zerlina. When you are attacking her, you are attacking us, and we're not going to tolerate it. So as far as the B word, it can be a form of assault, yes. If I don't know you, if I'm walking down the street, you're yelling at me because, for example, I turned down your offer I turned down your compliment, yes, it is a form of assault. Absolutely. It's all of a piece. We need to keep hammering at that. It's all of a piece. Sexual, street harassment, to domestic violence, to even when we do not pay, for example, as a country, for women to get accessible abortion. It's all of a piece. It is a form. There are several kinds of violence. There are several forms of violence, and it's all of a piece. We need to keep hammering away at that point.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Verna in Baltimore. You're on the air, Verna.
Hello.
Hi, Verna. Welcome.
Oh,
hi,
thank you. I want to comment on this issue because this is a long-standing issue and it's just really bubbling out of control. But my thoughts on this are that with the issue of women's liberation in the 60s, it acted as maybe a catalyst on escalation of violence against women. As a black female, as a black people, we, of course, have history. I can go way back to slavery because when a man can come in your house, rape your women, rape your mother, rape your daughter, rape your wife right in front of you, you have to stay in there and watch it. And she just tells you, you have to watch that. That creates an enmity right there, which is still going on between black people. The reason why this continues in this country and in the world, even though women outnumber the men all over the world, is because it's a male-dominated society. If, for rape, one male was castrated in the public square, one male, rape would stop for years and centuries, and that's my comment.
Thank you.
I think Verna makes a good point. I think one of the things that I have been talking about quite a bit, Mark, is this this notion of white male patriarchal masculinity. And Andrea, not Andrea, Verna sort of alluded to it when she talked about what happened during slavery. And I don't think there has been a disconnect between what happened during slavery. I'm not sure if the women's liberation movement was what caused this level of violence that we're looking at today, that we're seeing today, to happen. But I do know that there is a protracted history of violence against women. And I do not think that you can divorce that from racism. Sexism and racism, I think, emanate from the same mindset. And it's about power and domination. And unless we, I understand, Andrea, that there are some actions, some activism, some all of those things that are taking place, but not nearly enough to tackle the level of these problems that we're seeing surfacing and resurfacing at this particular moment. That we are in, I believe, a state of crisis when it comes to misogyny, when it comes to sexism, when it comes to racism. This country is at a real defining moment. And unless all of us say it again.
Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead, Andrew.
Go on.
I think unless all of us accept that reality and decide what we're going to do as a person and as a collective to resist it, then it's only going to get worse.
Andrew.
But I think, sir, that misogyny is always a state of crisis. It has always been a state of crisis. It depends on how much we accepted it. Now, I have to disagree with Ms. Verna on the fact that women's liberation somehow helped this. In fact, it was women's liberation, especially I think of the Combahee River Collective and Alice Walker, and I think of women like Angela Davis, and I think of women like Bell Hooks, and I actually have to go back in time and say women like Ida B. Wells, who stood up and said, we are not going to suffer the slings and arrow of sexual assault. In fact, it was Recy Taylor's case that Rosa Parks reported on. And there were so many black women down south who stood up and said, a white man raped me. It was those stories that actually fostered the civil rights movement. And that's a very quiet history that we do not talk about. But it was black women who were the mothers of the civil rights movement in that case. And it is that storytelling, those quiet stories that, you know, they don't tell everybody because they're just trying to get their lives back together, but they told somebody. And Rosa Parks was that somebody, and she took those stories and said, we need to fight for the dignity and the sexual autonomy of black women. Absolutely. And then women like I said, the Combahee River Collective, they came forward and said, we have to fight for the sanctity and dignity of women of color, the bodies of women of color. So it keeps, and all of these forms were really kind of forms of women's liberation. The liberation, in this particular case, from having our bodies being considered less than. So women's liberation is not the fault of it, of misogyny. Women's liberation, if anything, tries to fight against that. Now, is there the level of street action that we need? No. But we keep going and we keep going and we keep going and we keep going until we get to that mass, until we get to that critical mass. That's what we need to be doing.
Then let's go back to the phones here and see what our listeners are thinking after that very powerful statement. 410-319-8888. Kathy and Glen Burnie, you're on the air. Kathy, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Would you turn down your radio so we can hear you?
Hello.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the history of misogyny as it relates to the pre-colonial era. For example, throughout Africa, there's a great deal of misogyny, and it looks to me as if that doesn't have anything to do with racism. You have violence against little girls when they have to be circumcised. I just wanted the panelists to kind of address those issues because they don't seem to be race-related.
We only have a few minutes left here. Now, you raise an issue that can be an entire show, which I think it should be, because Andrew very quickly, and then to Keith very quickly, because that I mean, while it's clear that race plays a huge factor in this question of misogyny in America. It's definitely a part of it. It's a factor in it. But misogyny goes across every culture on the planet. It's not just the United States.
Absolutely. When we're talking about what happened in New Delhi, India, and the gang rapes, we can talk about Africa and female genital cutting.
Right.
I want to be very careful with that because some cultures, some people in the culture, it's not always seen as wholesale violence. And so we need to be able to, we need to nuance that just a little bit because some of the women, some of the people who are involved in that may say, this is fine for us. You may not do it in the United States, that's fine for you. But if you want to talk about genital cutting, let's talk about breast implants. Okay, so there can be a whole series of conversations around that. So I really want to be able to nuance that.
Why would you want to nuance that?
Yes.
I mean, I think that it's pretty clear that whatever it is, it's
apparent
clear,
violence.
Mark. No, it's not always clear. It's not always clear because some of the people in the culture says it's for us.
You take a 12-year-old girl and you cut her clitoris out and it's not an act of violence?
In the United States, to them, they think, well, cutting your breast is horribly violent. How could you do that? So that's what I mean by that. That's a trickier conversation. I think another day's conversation.
I understand
you. Yes, we can talk about the idea of misogyny is not always necessarily race based. In the United States, it's very much tied into that, but not all over the world. The caller is right on that regard.
I understand your point, Ms. Platt, but I don't think that you can contextualize violence or give it a cultural coding and then suggest that it's not violence simply because it's in a different geographical area. Cutting on a 12-year-old's clitoris is violence, no matter how you try to sanitize it, how you try to define it, explain it. It is violence, and I'm certain that the 12-year-old girl who is undergoing that process would say to you, this is violent. And no matter where it's happening, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in America, it is violence, no matter the context.
And thank you for that, but I have to disagree with you because we would need to talk to the women there and see what they have to say about that.
But
we do need to honor that.
Well, I don't think we have to. We should do this.
I think you have to honor that, sir, because
no.
It's their lives and it's their body.
Well, people here would say, what about women in America who would say that it's women's fault because of the way they dress and this is my belief and this is what I think is right. If I didn't dress this way, then we wouldn't be raped.
It's right. And those are all of those things. So some things you have to kind of be like, yes. And some things you have to kind of like, well, that's all I'm saying. So genital, like I said, the genital cutting, that's a whole other conversation.
We need to talk
to women who have gone through it, positive and negatively.
I think you started the place where you recognize that everybody we're talking about is a human being.
We have to take a break here. I wish we could do this another half an hour. We have other people coming in. But we're going to come back to this because I think we'll pick up on this point. And gather a panel around, and Andrea, I hope you come back for that. Andrea Platt, who's Associate Editor at Racialicious, Keith and others, come back to this conversation. Thank you both so much for this half an hour.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we're going to take a brief break, and we take a journey to the Maryland Film Festival. Lots going on. Don't go away.